Apart from the macadamia nut, there aren't that many Australian native foods that have become commercially successful around the world. Most of the plants we do grow to eat here, the rice, the wheat, the sorghum, the cotton, just about all the veggies, originated somewhere else. But that's changing. Ancient relatives of rice and sorghum, even tomatoes, bananas and eggplants, are being found in Australia. And there's a new push now to use these plants to help feed the world in a changing climate. It's been one of the big issues this week at the International Horticultural Congress in Brisbane, as Ian Townsend reports.
Scientists are combing northern Australia for the wild relatives of some of the world's most important commercial crops.
So in Australia, there's a lot of wild relatives of pigeon peas, which is an important crop in South Asia. There's a lot of sorghum wild relatives. Then there's some very interesting wild rices, especially here in Queensland as well. Then there's wild bananas and a wild eggplant as well.
Hannes Demperwolf is a scientist with the Global Crop Diversity Trust, an organisation that funds gene banks and crop collections. Australia's become a bit of a hotspot for the scientists collecting the wild relatives of our crops.
They're in often very inaccessible areas, so they are under-collected. They're not accurately represented in gene banks. We feel that there is reason to do a major push in Australia to go out and collect these wild species in the northern regions.
Part of the push now is to find the genetic qualities of the wild relations of bananas and rice and sorghum to help those food crops adapt faster to climate change.
That's sort of the whole theory and rationale behind this major push that we've been leading over the last 3 years to have this global initiative on the collecting, conservation and use of those wild relatives. Because as breeders have to adapt agriculture to these increasing challenging conditions, they really have to go to more extreme sources for traits of interest. And so breeders are more and more interested to actually tap into these wild species, even though it may be more difficult to work with them. But there's an increased interest now in that really diverse material.
How do you go about collecting? Are you collecting everything you can find and then getting the data from it, or are you after specific species with specific traits?
That's an interesting question. So what we've done at the start of the project is that we've conducted a global gap analysis, which means that we've predicted the distributions of a lot of those wild relatives in all around the world globally, and we compared it to already existing collections in gene banks. And what you end up with is basically this global, what we call a gap map, so areas in the world where they're still collecting hotspots, and then we target those areas in particular. We don't really go after specific traits during the collecting because often it's, as I said, very difficult to predict how those wild species are going to be valuable later on. So we really go after geography as an indicator on possible areas that have so far remained under-collected.
Why has Australia been neglected for a while?
Collecting, I think, so far has not really focused on Australia as such. There has been a lot more collecting in, for example, the Near East, where some of the international agricultural research centres also have focused their collecting. Very little of that has happened in Australia, historically.
But there's plenty going on now. Professor Robert Henry is director of the Queensland Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation.
Certainly the top of the list is rice. We see rice as the native species across northern Australia, and we see a lot of diversity in rice that represents a really important resource for rice food security. But we also have resources for many other species, soybean, cotton, tomato, grape in the extreme, sorghum.
What traits are we looking for?
Well, I think we're always looking for pest and disease resistance in our crops. It's a case where we have to run hard to stay where we are because new pests and diseases arise all the time. So we actually need to try and stay one step ahead and identify new varieties of crop species that will have resistance to new pests and diseases as they arise. And this is one of the reasons we need to be able to go back to the wild to find a new genetic variation that we can use in food production.
Scientists such as Robert Henry are using DNA sequencing to identify the important genes that produce the desired traits for things like heat tolerance or pest resistance, and even traits like nutritional value and taste, and then fast-tracking plant breeding to produce new varieties.
So by working with the analysis of the genes using sophisticated DNA analysis techniques, we can support and accelerate conventional plant breeding. And in these domestication cases, this is actually the most effective way to do it. Genetic modification may have some things to offer, but it really isn't the key to accelerated domestication of wild species. We really need to select amongst the natural variation for variation that's already there but is particularly useful in the agricultural context, that particularly is looking for in grains big seeds that provide plenty of food, of course, but also seeds that don't fall off the plant. And that's really a matter of just selecting amongst the wild populations very deliberately for the ones that are closer to what we would want to have in an agricultural context.
New species of wild rice are being found on Cape York. There's also a rice that's been found that can grow in the temperate and drier climates of Australia, and they've named it alpine rice. There's some hope for new Australian cereal crops from some of these, and trial plantings aren't that far away, says Robert Henry.
What we're doing at the moment is trying to grow sufficient quantities of them that we can actually do proper taste testing with, if you like, panels of people that can give us comments and judgment on the taste relative to conventional rice. So we haven't had sufficient quantities of this material to do proper taste or cooking tests, but we've got a project now that's targeting doing exactly that.
Professor Robert Henry, Director of Queensland Alliance for Agriculture and Food Innovation, speaking with Ian Townsend. It's 14 minutes to 9.